Remembering Jesus' birth as a little baby in a manger, a trough of hay, an animal barn about 2,000 years ago. But what an impact. Let's pray. God, your plan is amazing. We thank you for sending that little one on our behalf. We thank you for this holiday that reminds us each year of what you've done. God, help us for a few minutes to focus on what is lasting, what is eternal, what's actually important, Father, and praise you and give thanks to you as we listen to some verses from your word and contemplate what it is you did for us that we remember this Christmas season. In your son's name, amen. So that baby arrived to a bit of a mess, huh? Parents, you know, pregnant out of wedlock, sleeping the night in a barn full of stinky animals. I don't know what your past looks like. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've seen. Everyone on earth has a mess at some level in their past. Some by their own making, some the result of others, some are heartbreaking, some are incredible stories of redemption. Some of you are filled with guilt for mistakes you've made, for things you've done or said. Some of you are filled with anger at the things others have done or said. I don't know everything about your past, but tonight I want to talk about your future. A much more talented preacher than I am once explained the best recipe for a good sermon. Have a great beginning, have a great ending, and put them as close together as possible. So I'm only going to take a few minutes to talk about your future, to talk about gifts, and to talk about how this Christmas season can play a role in your story. So when you hear the word Christmas, what do you think of? When I was a kid, Christmas was synonymous with one thing, presents. Right? I actually slept behind my parents' couch one night to discover this whole Santa parent thing. Is this real? I kind of wedged myself behind there until I was discovered. Amazon's Prime Day this year beat Black Friday and Cyber Monday. 175 million things purchased in that one day, just from Amazon. When I look around, it amazes me how many useless presents, useless products are out there. Can you relate? The classic example is probably this, Sky Mall magazine. This is in the seat back in front of you on the airplane, right? Sky Mall brought us the blanket with sleeves. It brought us the beard hat. It brought us this crazy haircut-catching spaceship thing. SkyMall brought us a treadmill that rolls along the ground, just in case, you know, you actually wanted to go somewhere when you were walking. You could use... It brought us a fancy sumo wrestler table, if you feel like you missed out this Christmas. Only $300. And yes, for the person who truly has everything, they brought us a raincoat for a dog. This evening, there is a gift you do need. It was none of those, but there is a gift you can't truly live without. So we need to understand first, what's a gift? What's a gift? What's the difference between a gift and wages, for example? For some of you, we've talked about this before. Wages are what you've earned, right? They're promised to you in exchange for work. You do work, you get the wages. They're yours by right. They're owed to you by your employer. But a gift is different. A gift is given for nothing, expecting nothing, in exchange for nothing. If you worked for a gift, it wouldn't be a gift, right? It would be wages. What do you think if your boss handed you a paycheck on Friday and said, "Here's a gift for you"? Might you be a little annoyed? It's like, hey, this isn't a gift. I worked for this. So from God's perspective, looking down on his creation, what have you earned? Death. every one of us with our mistakes, our messed up past, even those who might think this morning, I'm a good person. We've all sinned. Are you perfect? I'm not perfect, but God is, and that's his standard. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. What have I earned in God's eyes? Romans 3:23, the wages, the thing I have earned from my work of sin is death. Our wages, our earnings from our sin, what we're entitled to for falling short of God's perfect standard is death, and not just death here, but death eternal, separation from God. Because make no mistake, there is an eternity. When our time on earth ends, we go to the next place. What do they say? Up or down. The wages of our sin is deadly. But wait, the verse goes on. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages were death, but the gift is eternal life. So instead of eternal death, separation from God, we can have eternal life and enjoy a relationship with the creator of the universe now on this earth and forward for all time. Yeah, I want that. Sign me up for that. If the wages of sin is death, then how can I earn God's favor? The terrible news is you cannot. It's hopeless. Well, hang on. This is a bummer on Christmas Eve, if this were the end of the message. You can't earn God's favor. You can't win a relationship with him. You can't make him love you. No amount of being good, even doing the good things and helping the church and helping the poor, you can't ever get there on your own because, as the verse said, there's no one righteous, no, not one. None of us live up to the standard of perfection. Some of you probably feel that very acutely this evening. You feel guilt or shame for something you've said or something you've done. Why would God love me? How can I ever deserve his forgiveness and his love? The big news for this evening is this: you can't, and you don't have to. What does the verse say? The verse says it's a gift. What was the difference between wages and a gift? A gift is freely given with nothing in return. You can't earn God's love. It's not up to you to work for it. It's freely given. There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor, and there's nothing you have to do. Just accept it. So what's going on in your mind now? Are you thinking, I really need to get my ducks in a row first? I need to have life figured out. Before I come to God, I got to get this in order. As though you could ever possibly be good enough, ready enough, as though it was about you at all. It's not. It's a present. It's tied up with a bow. You will never please God by human attempts. So open the present now. He tells us in Ephesians 2:9, it's not by works. He doesn't want anyone to be able to boast. So you can never get yourself ready for God. Several years ago, at Christmas time up here, Buffy Medeiros gave her testimony on this stage. She was quoting an analogy from Scripture, and she said, I'm quoting part of her testimony here, God is the great potter, and I am the pot that's been dropped and broken into a million pieces. God has picked up each piece and has gently and lovingly worked to restore this vessel back to its intended purpose. If you're broken this morning, that is when God, the master potter, can work a masterpiece in your life. I've shared this before, but I love it so much I want to share it again. There's this Japanese art form. It's called kintsugi. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it looks like it's pronounced kintsugi. Centuries ago, if a precious piece of beautiful pottery were broken, it was too valuable to be thrown away. So a master craftsman would repair it with a lacquer that was mixed with gold. They would repair the seams, they would rebuild the pot, so at once again it'd be functional and strong and more beautiful than it ever was before. The repair was done as part of a history of the object, rather than something to hide. Kintsugi not only repairs the object, but it very literally highlights the damage, because therein lies the great beauty of the piece. Collectors became so enamored with this art form, some were accused of deliberately smashing valuable pieces of pottery just so they could be repaired with golden seams of kintsugi. So if you have a past this morning, if you're broken, your Father in heaven has the gold. It's powdered and ready to go. Your flaws, your imperfections in the hands of a master potter create more value and more loveliness than if you had never been broken in the first place. He can assemble the pieces in a way that is more functional, more beautiful than you were to begin with. But all on your own, all our efforts to be a good person or accomplish nothing apart from God. It doesn't work. You can't win the race. First, because you can never be perfect and sinless as Jesus was. And second, because he's not looking for you to rack up the high score in life in order to earn his favor anyway. He's holding it out to you, wrapped and beautiful. Big bow on top. It is a gift for you to open or not. Your choice. So let's spend one moment on the other side of the coin. Maybe your personality is different. Your self-perception is not quite ready to be broken and repaired like a kintsugi vase. Perhaps you're self-reliant. You're strong. You're thinking, I might not be particularly good in God's eyes, but you know what? I like it that way. I'm just fine living the way I want to live, making the choices I want to make, living for myself, living for today, enjoying some of the pleasures that the world offers. If God's going to forgive me anyway, I'll just accept his gift later. When I'm old, I've got plenty of time. Let me enjoy the life now doing whatever I want. And when I'm old and gray, I'll turn to him. Well, first and foremost, this is a dangerous game, my friends. In Luke 12, Jesus tells the story of a rich man, and he says, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Your life taken in an instant, and you'll have missed your chance." Matthew 16, 26 says, "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? This very week you could meet the Lord face to face. And if you haven't accepted the gift, if you're hearing these words this evening and you make a deliberate choice, not now, later, I don't want to change right now. I decline the gift that's being offered. Try again next year, God." Oh boy. Listen, I don't want to preach some kind of fire insurance message, right? Some would present accepting Jesus' gift as if it's just a get out of hell free card, like as if that's the point. I want to make it clear, if you wait until you're old, you're just missing out. I can't fathom life without God. His power, his freedom, his forgiveness, his blessed assurance. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. Those of you here tonight, if you know what I'm talking about, if God has changed you, amen?
Amen.
If you think you're really living now without God, that's Pinocchio stuff. Do you remember Pinocchio? The wooden puppet who had fun wild living. And it wasn't until the end that he became a real boy instead of a puppet and realized what he had been missing. It's better on God's side of the canyon, both in this life and the next. There is a slavery in living for yourself. In the darkness of sin, you think you want to keep on sinning. You think it's somehow better. And when you understand what Jesus has to offer you, you will say to yourself, "Why did I ever delay? So I can't earn it myself, and I don't want to delay, so how do I accept this gift?" You'll have the opportunity tonight. The new year rolls in next week. You might have some resolutions in mind, New Year's resolutions. Here's the big one. Get right with God. Take care of eternity. Accept the gift. Change direction. If you've been running in the wrong direction, remember the football player, 1929, Roy Riggles, the Rose Bowl, Georgia Tech against University of California. Some of you know the story. He recovered a fumble and he took off 75 yards in the wrong direction. He was confused. He ran the wrong way. He was finally stopped by one of his own team just before going into the wrong end zone. And at halftime, the team was in the locker room. They're wondering what the coach is going to say. Roy sat there with a towel over his head, crying like a baby. The coach surprised all of them by saying, "Second half, same guys start." The team jogged out of the locker room, except Roy, who sat humiliated and weeping. Roy said, "Coach, I can't do it. I've ruined my life. I've ruined you. I've ruined myself. I've ruined the University of California. I can't face that crowd to save my life." And the coach responded by saying, "Roy, get up and get back out there. The game's only half over." What a coach. And what a God we have. He's saying, "Get up. This is your chance for redemption. The game isn't over. You've got a lot of life ahead. If there's any chance you think you're running in the wrong direction tonight, turn around." In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "If you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about face and walking back to the right road. In that case, it's the man who turns back soonest that is the most progressive man. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you think that God thinks about you. Romans 5:8 tells us, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. Before the making of the world, he knew you. I think of the little sheep. We had a Christmas pageant at our house the other night. Little ones were in costumes of sheep. They were wanderers, shall we say. We made it through the pageant, but not by much, even with shepherds, big kids, kind of sitting among them and trying to corral. We joked that we could segue straight from the Christmas pageant into the parable of the lost sheep because they would be scattered before the pageant ended. Are you a wanderer? Are you lost this holiday season? This morning, God is searching for you. God is waiting. He's looking down the road to see if the prodigal son is returning, and he has been every day for years, looking for you, waiting for you. He's not waiting to judge you. He's waiting to forgive you. You remember that the father ran to the prodigal son? He was given his father's robe. He was given a feast when he returned. Billy Graham told the story of a man, a father, who was being released from prison. He'd served his term for his crime. He wrote a letter to his family, who he'd been away from for years. Embarrassed, he wrote, "I'm taking the bus from prison and I'm going to drive by the house. I know you're ashamed of me. I know you're ashamed of what I've done. If you want me to come home, put out a yellow ribbon or a yellow flag of some kind. And if there's nothing out, I'll know. I'll just keep driving by." On the way from the prison, the bus stopped at a college, and a pile of students got on, and they soon learned the man's story. So they were all waiting with bated breath as the bus pulled into town and turned onto the man's street. He was straining his eyes. He was hoping for a glimpse of yellow, and when the bus turned the corner, the crowd erupted. There was yellow as far as the eye could see. The family had dyed their sheets and put out everything yellow they had so the message would not be missed. God has laid out the yellow sheet for you. It's red instead with his blood. He wants you home. So how? First, realize that you've sinned and you can't fix it yourself. Change the way you think about God. Change your mind about yourself. You need to say, "God, I've sinned, and I know it. I'm sorry." And second, receive him by faith. It's a gift. "God, I know you sent your son to die for me anyway, and I accept that incredible gift." The path forward starts simply believing. Romans 10:9 tells us, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's it. It's that simple, childlike faith in the truth. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Does faith feel hard today? Billy Graham also used to say, how many of you tested your chair before you sat down? Have you sat in a chair before? Do you know the person who made it? How did you know it would hold you? You put your whole weight on it in an instant. You sat down without fear or calculation. I'm asking you today to put your whole weight on Jesus. Not some of it, not testing, not hoping your own strength will carry the rest, but all of it. We have faith in many things every day. You might be thinking, I'm too science-minded. I'm too much of a modernist. I'm too much of a realist for all this Jesus stuff. Listen to me. This is important. I've been there. And when you stop to think about it, when I took the time to think about it, I realized how much of a straw man that is. An arrogant argument thrown up to avoid the harder question. If I acknowledge this is true, will I need to do something? Will I need to change? When you study science, when you learn how the body works, how far away the stars are, why magnets stick together when there's nothing to see, we have faith in a lot of things. We believe what we've been told. You didn't run those experiments by yourself, right? You believe the textbook. The Bible is telling you what is true. And there's a testimony of hundreds of witnesses, hundreds here tonight, saying, I know this is true. You heard that? Amen? It's happened to me. I've been changed. I've been saved. I know. You can know tonight. Romans 5:1 has this wonderful message. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us when you believe that Jesus died in your place to take away your sin, you are justified, made right. It's as if you never committed that sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an incredible thing to go to bed tonight and know that God no longer remembers your sins. You are clean. You are pure in his sight. Okay, decision time. Each of us has one past, but any number of futures. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but the choice is urgent. Delay makes the decision harder. Indecision itself is a choice. So choose now. Nowhere in the Bible are we promised another chance, another tomorrow. You might say, all right, how do I actually accept it? It's simple. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. If you decided this evening that it's time to think about your future, to reverse direction, to accept God's free gift, you can just speak directly to God. He's listening to you right now as you pray. Acknowledge your sin, your brokenness before God. Accept the gift of his Son as full coverage, total forgiveness. Right now, you can say something to God, something like, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I can never be good enough to be worthy of heaven, and I know I can't earn your love. But you loved me anyway, so much that you sent your perfect Son to die for me. When he bled and died on that cross, I know it was for me. That was washing away my own sin. And God, I accept your gift. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to turn me around. I want to live for you. Amen. Listen, if you prayed something like that tonight, congratulations. Do you know there's angels in heaven right now dancing and singing? You've taken the first step in a journey to know God. Your future is already certain, and now you get to learn more about him. You get to grow. You get to produce fruit. Tell the people you came with tonight, the folks who invited you here, tell them about your decision. They're going to be very excited, and they know how to help. God, overcome the struggle in that person's mind right now. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. We're so thankful for your gift, Father. We remember you. We remember your Son, and we're so thankful. In his name, amen. So now we get to celebrate together. We're going to light some candles. Ushers are going to come down the aisle.